أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأصل والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. This evening is session number 4 as we've been going through the topic of knowing the Imam of our time. And last week we concluded with the review of the period of the minor occultation. And we looked at the 4 representatives, the 4 deputies, which were appointed by the 12th Imam during that minor occultation period of 63 years. Today I want to look at after the occultation, what happens. Now, even this theme or this topic, it can be branched out into multiple areas. But for today, I want to look at specifically the signs of the advent of our 12th Imam. What are the signs that will be seen around the world, around all of the world, all the countries, which would be heralding in the return of our 12th Imam? And when our scholars look at the signs of what will happen in the world, they divide them into 2 different categories. We have the definite signs, things that definitely will happen, that Allah has decreed and determined will occur, and we'll see what those are today. And we also have indefinite signs, meaning that these are not, they're not written in stone, so to speak. They can happen, they might not happen. Some of them, in terms of the indefinite signs, many of them have already been seen. And we'll probably look at that category as well, but there are multiple indefinite signs. Many of them deal with and relate to society on a whole and the level of moral depravity that society and humanity will get to. And again, there are many of those that we will also review at that point in time. So these are the 2 categories of the signs. Again, we just want to look at the 1 category today. And they are actually 5 different signs. So this is a very famous hadith that we have given, that comes to us from actually multiple personalities from amongst the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. This particular one that we see comes from the 6th Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhis salam, in which he gives us 5 definite signs before the zuhur of the Imam. So he says in the hadith, لِلْقَائِمْ خَمْسُ عَلَامَاتٍ, that there are 5 definite signs for the return of Al-Qa'im. He says that they are the appearance of Al-Sufyani, the appearance of Al-Yamani, a loud cry from the sky, the killing of a pure soul, what he calls a nafsu zakiya, and the 5th is the caving in of the earth at a place called Bayda. So let's go over each of these, and again, there are a lot of details. We're not going through, obviously, the depth which many of our books and scholarly articles and scholars have spoken and written about. This is just more so to give us a better understanding, and then we can actually hopefully go and further research these 5 particular signs that we have. The first is an individual known as a Sufyani. Now, in the hadith, he's called or referred to as somebody coming from the progeny of Abu Sufyan, so from this Bani Umayyah lineage. We have some examples. We have a description of him to be a reddish-white complexion and a man with yellowish color hair, so maybe like a blonde color hair or something in this regards. Some of the hadith actually even give us the specific name of this individual and his family, where he comes from. We're told that Sufyani will make his advent. He will begin his mission in the month of Rajab, and he basically will take charge for 15 months. And basically within that, the hadith mentioned 5 specific cities that he will fight in and against, and he will actually overcome those cities. One being Damascus, one being Homs, which is within Syria. One is Aleppo, which I'm sure we also know is within Syria. The hadith mentions Jordan. Now, obviously we know Jordan to be a country today. There may actually even be a city perhaps or a village with the same name. I wasn't able to find it on a map, but the hadith talks about these 5 cities, so we're presuming that this may have been a city, or it is a city currently within that region. And the last one is Qansarin, which is actually a village in present-day Syria right now. So one of the things, just let me mention as a side note, one of the things that we see in terms of the Akhir al-Zaman and the time of the 12th Imam is that there are a lot of events happening in the hadith that talk about events that will happen in the area of the Middle East. So Syria, for example, plays a very direct role in the terms of the return of the Imam. Yemen plays a very direct role, and we see that in Yamani, that character. Iraq plays a very prominent role. Iran plays a prominent role. This entire Middle Eastern region, really, even up to Egypt, actually, according to the hadith, all of these countries, and we can even probably surmise in some of the traditions, even European countries also have some connection to what's going to happen. And obviously, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that there are multiple hadith. It's not just one or two. There are probably hundreds of hadith which talk about all of these areas and different characters, individuals, things that are going to happen. Many of these hadith have been scrutinized by our scholars. They've written books on the topic of the time of the Imam, what's going to happen, you know, 6 months, 1 year before the Imam, as portrayed within the hadith, and even the time after the Imam's return. So there is a lot of information available in the source books. Again, Sufyani is portrayed as an individual. He is a human being who has these qualities. He will eventually take charge in a military campaign. And these five cities in Damascus, at least, will be under his control. Obviously, with his own army and individuals that are working with him. A second individual which is mentioned in the hadith is Al-Yamani or Al-Yamani. There's two different pronunciations within the traditions for him. Most prominently, he is described as an individual or a group that will come up from the city or from the country of Yemen, rather, and will rise with weapons. So again, there is this picture, this vision that we have, this notion of a all-out war in that particular region before the 12th Imam's return. So Yamani is one of the definite signs. Let me just mention one thing, going back to Sufyani, that he is, from our perspective, not a good individual. And so obviously, Yamani will be one who will be working against the 12th Imam, or against that movement of the 12th Imam, Sufyani rather. But Yamani is actually somebody who is on the side of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, we can say. So again, an individual who will rise up with a group from Yemen. And we're told in the hadith that Yamani, that Sufyani, Yamani, and an individual known as Khorasani, who will come from the area of Iran, that they will all make their advent. They will all rise up in the same year, in the same month, and on the same day. So these three individuals will basically all make their proclamation, their announcement at the same time. Yamani becomes an individual, and again, there's a lot we are mentioned in our books. I'm just going to summarize all of that today. But Yamani plays a role because he will work, he and his army, again, keeping in mind that they're from Yemen, will make an alliance with Khorasani, Sayyid Khorasani, who is coming from Iran, and they will end up actually meeting up in somewhere within the region of Iraq, according to some of our traditions. And Yamani and Khorasani will work together against the Sufyani. So, and again, keep in mind that this is all before the Dhuhr of the 12th Imam. This is before the actual 12th Imam makes his official proclamation. Also, keep in mind that, you know, these points which are mentioned in the hadith, which we're speaking about, we don't know, obviously, when they're going to happen. And even when we look at the indefinite signs in their future discussions, we'll see that many of the indefinite signs, many of them have already come to pass. We've already seen many of them. But that doesn't mean that we should draw conclusions that, you know, the return is in a week or a month or it's imminent, you know, it's imminent. Ultimately, we don't know. We look at the signs, and that one of the reasons why we've been speaking about the signs is that we need to ensure that we don't become misled by people who may claim status before the Dhuhr of the 12th Imam, right? So these are things that have to happen before the Dhuhr of the 12th Imam. And I mentioned before that even up until the early 1980s, there were people claiming to be Imam al-Mahdi, even though none of these signs were ever present. So in order for us to not be misled and deviated from the right path, we have to obviously know and study these signs. So that was Yamani. Again, an individual coming from Yemen, he will work with Sayyid Khorasani, and they will basically work together to destroy this individual and the army of Sufyani. The third thing that the sixth Imam said in the hadith was a noise would come from the sky. This has been obviously interpreted in many different ways. I'll give you just a few of the examples. So we actually have in the hadith two different voices or sounds which will come, which will actually, according to the hadith, the first sound will be of the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam. And there are two different proclamations that he will make. One of them, according to the hadith, is that indeed the truth is with Ali and his followers. And the second, or one of the other sounds which we are told, or the speech which will be emanated, would be that indeed the truth is with the family of Muhammad. So this comes from Jibra'il alayhi salam. The hadith paint this picture that this voice, this sound, this sentence will be heard by everybody upon the earth. And it will also, and interesting enough, be heard in everybody's own language. So the scholars, contemporary scholars who have given commentary of this hadith, they give two suppositions of what this could mean. One is that the voice will be in Arabic, but it will be understood by everybody across the entire globe. The second opinion is no, that it would be in Arabic, but the mass media, the news outlets, obviously the satellite, internet, all of these things, when this voice is heard, that it will be translated by news agencies into all of the languages of people around the world. So there is a difference of opinion of what or how this sound will be communicated, and how is it that everyone will hear it in their own language. Interestingly enough, also we're told that this would take place in the month of Ramadan, on the night of the 23rd. So again, all of these events are basically happening back to back, one after the other, with the rising of Sufyani, Yamani, Khorasani, all of these things are happening at one time, or at least in very close proximity in terms of the dates that they're happening. And at the same time that this call from Jibra'il alayhi salam will be made, there'll also be a call that will come from Iblis, from Satan, basically countering the call of the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam. So, and a lot of this might sound very science fiction-y, very, supernatural. And obviously it is, it's something that is not normal, for example. Yes, Yamani, Sufyani, Khorasani, these are, we can say, natural or normal occurrences, because what we see happening today, even in the world, especially in that Middle Eastern regions, sometimes people tend to think, well, are these the signs or the precursor to the 12th Imam? So the rising up of Yamani, Sufyani, the fighting, the wars, those seem very natural to happen. But this sound that comes from the sky, this is definitely not a normal reality, right? It doesn't happen in even today's day and age, right? We don't have this phenomenon coming about. But obviously we know that when it comes to issues dealing with the 12th Imam, with the latter day, with the signs of the Dhuhr, even ultimately with the end of the world, these are not normal things that we can, even begin to imagine, right? These are things which really do go into not a supernatural realm, but they're definitely not natural occurrences. And so we have to keep that in mind, that sometimes, when we read these signs and we reflect on them, they may seem a bit far-fetched or perplexing because we haven't experienced anything like that in our time. But again, these events which are foretold in the hadith, they have a reality which obviously is beyond what we may be able to comprehend and appreciate how they will actually take place. The fourth of the five definite signs is the killing of a pure soul. What the hadith called is an-nafsul zakiya. And this individual, we're told, will actually be a representative of the 12th Imam. He will be in Mecca on the 25th of Dhul-Hijjah. He would be between in Masjid al-Haram, between the Rukn and Maqam Ibrahim. And he will begin to make a proclamation. He will basically be reading out a commandment, an ordinance, which the 12th Imam will have given him. And he will be in Mecca. He will make this proclamation. And according to the hadith sources, he will be killed by the government or the surroundings of the time. So he would be directly massacred, killed in the city of Mecca, within Masjid al-Haram. And in addition to him, actually, there are hadith that talk about two of his family members, one male and one female. And they will actually be tried, we can say, in a court of law, and they will be executed in Medina. And they will be hung or decapitated in the city of Medina of the Prophet. So this person also, and the hadith actually do name this individual with his actual name, if those hadith are reliable and trustworthy. So this also becomes one of the definite signs that will happen. And as we know, I mean, this is a unique event because, as we know, right now for people who go for Hajj, it is haram, it's forbidden to even kill a fly while you're in the ihram. It's even haram, it's prohibited to even pull a flower or a tree out of the ground in the state of ihram. Because the city of Mecca is, as we know, it is a sacred city. It is, as even the name Masjid al-Haram, the inviolable or the sacred city, any form of aggression or violence is impermissible within the precincts of the Kaaba and even really the city of Mecca. So for this event to take place, for a person to come and make this proclamation, then be killed in Masjid al-Haram, is again not a normal circumstance. I mean, it happened in the past. You can read up about a revolution that happened in the early 80s in Mecca, and the entire Kaaba was actually under siege, but that has not happened since that time. Right? There's been obviously peace and calm and tranquility, at least within the city of Mecca. But this shows us that the situation at the time nearing to the dhuhr of our Imam will become such that the government of the time, or whoever it is responsible, will feel it, their duty to kill this individual within Masjid al-Haram. And the fifth and final sign, and we'll end with this for tonight, is that the sinking of Bayda. Now, Bayda is a region between Mecca and Medina. It's an area between those two cities. And one of the things that we are told in the hadith is that army of Sufyani that we spoke about, that once they have taken over those five cities in Syria, Damascus and Aleppo and those other places, Homs, that they will then make their way into the Hijaz, into what is now Saudi Arabia. And basically in that land between this area called Bayda, we have the forces of Yamani and the forces of Khorasani, that they will basically work together, and this army of Sufyani will be engulfed in a war in that region. They'll be in a war, and what ends up happening according to the traditions is that the earth literally opens up, and the army of Sufyani is basically swallowed into the ground. Right? Today we see these these sinkholes, as they call them. We see these things where the ground literally opens up and swallows even entire houses and large areas of land. So it's not far-fetched to believe that this would happen. Obviously, this would be more at a level of Allah intervening in this particular event. But whatever the case may be, whether it's a natural occurrence or a supernatural event, this land also plays a direct role. And so let me end with this, that basically these five definite signs are things that have to happen, that will happen according to the traditions, to herald in the return of our 12th Imam. So he will be around at that time, because at Nafs al-Zakiyah will be reading a proclamation from him. So he will be in his, let's say, his return. But these five signs will basically mean that once they occur, and we're told that they will occur all in the same time frame, or within the same time frame, that the open return of our 12th Imam will then begin. And obviously from that point on, there is an entire different set of events which the hadith talk about that will be happening around the world, whether it be here, whether it be in the Middle East, in many other regions of the world where the hadith speak about, that we see that there will be a change within the situation of humanity at that point in time. Let me end here, and if there's any questions, we have a few minutes to take before prayer time. If not, they will conclude here. And inshallah, next week we will continue in this discussion looking at another aspect of the return of our 12th Imam. Salu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Correct, yes. So Sufyani is, we can say, the bad force who comes from the family of Abu Sufyan. And he will basically be fought by Yamani, who is individual and an army from Yemen, joined with Khorasani from what is now Iran, that they will join our army and forces together to work and to conquer Sufyani. Yes. I personally haven't seen that tradition, but probably I think next week in the forthcoming weeks we'll be looking at other signs that will be that are mentioned within the hadith. Because definitely there are a lot of other signs that, and so as we mentioned in the beginning, that there are certain signs which are definite, which will happen. And so these five that we looked at tonight are definite signs. And then there are also some indefinite signs, which the hadith talk about. So hopefully when we get into the indefinite ones, which may or may not happen, we'll be able to hopefully try and investigate that one as well. And it may also be, and that may also be one of the definite signs, but it's not categorized in this specific hadith that we looked at. One of the things to keep in mind as well, as we mentioned, is that there are a lot of traditions, a lot of hadith from both the Shia and the Sunni side of, you know, things that are the precursors to Imam Mahdi's return, and so obviously there's just a large corpus of what to go through, and you know, many of our a good number of our scholars have done a lot of research in terms of categorizing them, reviewing the traditions, and trying to put them into buckets of understanding of a time frame of what's going to happen when. So hopefully in our future discussions, we'll be able to even try to review this one to see if it's mentioned in any of the other books as well. Inshallah. And if nothing else, inshallah, we ask Allah to keep each and every one of us and our families on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. We ask Allah to allow us to increase in our knowledge and our faith and our practice, such that when the Imam's Zuhur takes place, if we are alive at that point in time, that we are able to help and assist him in that movement and that revolution to establish a kingdom of justice. And we ask Allah to forgive us any of our sins, keep each and every one of us on the straight path, and to also hasten in the return of our 12th Imam to bring an end to injustice and oppression and tyranny as we see it happening around the world today. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Let us close by reciting a Surah Fatiha for the thawab of all the deceased from our family, our community, our friends, the ulama, the shuhada who have left this world. But before that, one salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.